All right, so we have the 9th day of March, 2018. 22. 30, what? 22. 22. The 22nd day of Adar. Tavshinayin Ches. So we are in Perek Tesvav. This is, a pretty technical Perek, dealing with the laws of Tumah V'Tahara about things that come out of the body. It deals first with the laws of Zav for a male, then the halachos of Keri for a male, then the halachos of Zava for a woman, then the laws of Nida for a woman. Or maybe the other direction. First the laws of Nida, and then the laws of Zava with regards to a woman, and then it gathers it all together at the end. So there's a couple of interesting comments over the course of the parak by the Rishonim. So number one, take a look at Pasuk Beis. So in Pasuk Beis, it says, Zav Mipsaro. The Beruah B'nei Yisrael Yomarta Elohim, teach them Ishish Kiya Zav Mipsaro, that he will have a flow from his basar. So says from his flesh. So it says this forno, Kfar Baha Kapala Mipsaro, Velo Machmas Onso, that it's coming Mipsaro and not just by some kind of happenstance. Ones means it's some kind of happenstance that he was forced, etc. No, you have a little bit of control over this. Now, maybe you don't. It's some kind of flow. It's been translated as gonorrhea. I don't really know what that is. But that's why it's like kind of translated. Like leprosy is a translation of tsaras. It's also a translation, whatever that means. But realize that you have some responsibility for it. That's why that's the explanation of the words. Mivsaro, from within your flesh. What is that? That is because he sort of emphasized his own flesh. And it's not for another reason. And when this happens from his basar, which is the reason for his illness, right? Got it. All right. Sure.
The boys got watching.
Oh, that came from Mivsaro. Wow. Okay. So Yikra al Arov v'Sevas Rov Hatzmadas Hamishkal v'Har Harav. So it perhaps comes from his regularness with intercourse and thoughts about it. Asher Bolo Techtal Zimas Olas Chatas, and it's that lewdness which leads to the bringing of the Korban Chatas. I mean, the fact that you have to bring Korban Chatas when this is all said and done is because that there was some kind of spiritual problem. And it says the Sfarno V'Chein Roy Sheisper Zaynikin. That's also why you need to count 7 days. Asher Bam Yasu Hir Harav Milimo. And during the course of those 7 days, you'll be able. That's enough of a detox period. You'll remember to. You'll be able to remove these thoughts from your mind. So, the entire parshios of Tazria and Mitzora are all about these laws of Tumah V'Tahara. Never once does the Torah explicitly mention that this is the result of any type of chet, of any type of sin. But yet they keep the Rishonim keep inserting problems that one would do, which be the cause of these types of ailments. Yeah.
Are these diseases, or are these...
No. How do you define a disease?
Gonorrhea is a disease.
Right. So, I think the Sforno is saying that it's not normal. And when anything happens to you that's not normal, you should think about why it's happening to you.
So, they're implying something about a sin. You've done something...
That's what the Sforno is applying, yeah. Yeah.
Like tsaras. I mean, tsaras.
Right. Correct. That's similar to tsaras. Yes.
It's not an ejaculation.
It's a different type of. It's a different consistency. You weren't here the other day, were you?
Yeah, no, I was here. But, That's different. That's balkari.
The balkari would be a regular semen. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, and the Orach Chaim also points out that the idea of it saying ish kiyazav, that it's a count, that each time you should go and take a look, and don't forget to go to the mikveh. You have to get around to it. Don't keep pushing it off.
It's not that doesn't apply to the balkari though.
A balkari would also have to go to the mikveh. Yes,
but how about as far as that's not a normal.
No, that's normal. But he would have to go to the mikveh in order to become tahor. Now, we don't necessarily have a responsibility to always be tahor. Right? I'm tummy and proud of it. What? Unless you want to go to the base of Mikdash, or if you want to eat truma. Or if you want to wear your tummy, your tahor t-shirt, you would also need to, otherwise it's false advertising. Any other things? Right, go do avodah in the base of Migdash, etc. Right, so this is still the tumas keri, which I guess we're getting up to next, is still applicable today. You know, let's hold off on that. Let's just do look at this Rashbam on Pasuk Dalet. Pasuk Dalet is called Mishkav Asher Yishkav Olav. So anything that he reclines on, and any kli which he sits on. So says the Sforno Asher Yishkav Olav. Says the Rashbam is always right giving the pshat. Afilu hu tachas ha'even shelo naga v'klal. Even if it's under a stone and you're not touching it at all, meaning there's a stone on top of your seat, still you're. It's a, but even whatever's underneath it is going to become tummy. The Rashbam then says, "Kol shel davar." Here's the rule: zav zav v'nida. All of these people over the course of this parak, kula mitami mashim shmashetachtehem tuma chamur. All of them are mitami that which is under them a full tuma. The tami adam v'gadim imakeim shetachtem yuchedes liyeshiva. It's be mitami the person and the clothing if the keim underneath him are fit for yeshiva. Avapi shelo naga behem kol. Even if you don't touch them, even if there's many layers, even if you have a stack of mattresses. Tuvia has gotten into this practice. He somehow found a few mattresses and finds that to be much more comfortable than sleeping on a bed. So, right. So if he was tamei, the bottom mattress would be just as tamei as the top mattress. Okay. Yeah. So now continue on into the realm of. Actually, we're still within the area of Zav. And the other day, I think Sam was the one that asked, how do you know that all these times it talks about washing yourself, how do you know that it's referring to going to the mikvah? Right, that was you? So the Ramban, Pasuk Yud Aleph, so he takes this on, and he takes on a bunch of other things as well. Some interesting interesting principles for this section of learning. So what does the Ramban say in Yud Aleph? So in Yud Aleph it says, the Pasuk says, V'chol asher yigav bo hazav, anything that Zav touches, V'yadav lo shataf b'mayim, and his hands were not yet shataf in mayim. What does shataf mean? Do we have a translation of shataf in Pasuk Yud Aleph? Rinse. The hands weren't rinsed in water. So v'chibes b'gadav, you have to wash your clothing and you have to racht b'mayim v'temei ar'arv. Okay? So that sounds like, well, as long as you wash your hands, everything is okay. Now there is no such thing is washing your hands on the level of Doraisa. Whenever we, on a biblical level, whenever we talk about washing your hands, for instance, washing your hands for bread, so washing hands for bread is based on the idea that people would wash their hands in order to make sure that they were tahor in order to eat truma. And we wash our hands for bread to recall that people would wash their hands in order to eat truma. Now, it's always interesting to think about who ate truma. Kohen, only Kohanim would have to eat truma. The idea of tumas yadayim is very little applicability to, you know, simple yidden like me and like everyone else in this. You're a Kohen? You're a Kohen. Other than our priest over here on the right, who's sitting separate from everybody else, right? The rest of our simple yidden, us simple yidden over here, shouldn't have to wash your hands. But nevertheless, the takana was, the establishment was, that you should wash your hands for bread so that everybody, so that our Kohanim will remember that they have to wash their hands for bread. But all of that is only on a level, you're welcome. But all of that is only on a level of derabanan. The oraisa, there's no such thing as a tuma on only part of your body. It's either all or nothing. So here, it seems to be talking about washing your hands. So it comes to the Ramban and says, Yikra kasav hatvila shtifa maime. Here it calls tvila, rinsing your hands. There you go. Right, why? Sha'amar b'kan, v'chol kli eitz yishatav maim. Because it says here that all wooden vessels need to be rinsed in water. V'chein yikrenu b'begadim chabas. So too it calls the begadim needs to be washed. V'chibe sheni svitar. It's going to be washed again. It's going to be tar. V'hatab. Why is that? Why is it so ambiguous? Ba'avur ki hatvila tzricha shelo yeba davar chotzeis ela yishtov kol gufa b'mayim. Why is that? Because when you do tvila, when you go to the mikvah, not tefillah. Tefillah, you have to make sure that there is nothing separating. You need to wash your entire body in water. And therefore, that's why it's kind of alluded. It seems like what the Ramban is saying, we allude to washing your hands specifically, because you have to make, that's where you got the most grime and dirt. So you got to make sure everything is clean before you go ahead and do tefillah. before you go and go to the mikvah. So now when women go to the mikvah, this is that's a big deal, right? Women go through a process called hafifa, approximately 40 minutes to an hour long, and they have this whole checklist of things that they need to go ahead and do, from their fingernails and they got to comb their hair and all these different types of things they do. While a man, when he goes to the mikvah, he just does a cannonball and jumps right in. Right? So why is that okay? So the reason is, certainly nowadays, that women go to the mikvah, they have to fulfill a din d'oraisa, a biblical obligation, while the men are really doing it to fulfill, at most, are fulfilling a takana of Ezra. At the very least, they're doing a cannonball and jumping into water. Right? It's not necessarily an obligation for men to do it. So therefore, we're not going to impose all of those restrictions on men. Now, I was always curious why there are times that men do go to the mikvah, and it is 100% d'oraisa. Can anybody think of a category, b'zman hazeh, that a man goes to the mikvah and is fulfilling a biblical injunction?
Yeah, okay. On
his wedding? No. Probably not.
His wedding
day. No. Oh, please. Wedding. Again, at most, that's a minhag. It's even unclear where that minhag comes from, if it exists at all. But there is certainly at least one case that a man has to go, that we would tell a man to go to the mikvah. He's not necessarily obligated to do so, but if he doesn't do so, he's just going to remain not Jewish. Who are we talking about?
Well, a convert.
Okay.
You tricked me, Gavis.
Right. So converts go to the mikvah, and they go to the mikvah in order to fulfill, and so do they have to go through this process? So the minhag is not to. The minhag is that we don't force them to do chafifa. We don't do like an exam. Right? When a woman goes to the mikvah, their body is examined by the mikvah lady. Men geirim, we don't do that, and it's always been curious to me why not. But anyways, the Ramban here.
What? If she becomes a convert, she also goes to the mikvah.
Yes. So, truth is, I don't know. The only time I was ever really present for a woman's conversion, I don't believe we had her do chafifa. I mean, chafifa might just. The truth is, maybe when it comes to my guess, my answer would be. It's a good point. My answer would be possibly because when women go, even though a woman is going to the mikvah to fulfill din d'oraisa, when it becomes once a month, it becomes like it's something you do out of habit. So they might not be so careful. But if it's when they're converting, it's the first time they're ever going, and the same thing for the man, the first time they're ever going. So the rules of chafifa might not apply. I mean, we'll trust them to make sure they're clean anyways, without imposing our 25-step checklist upon them. So then maybe that would hold true for both men as well as women.
Right.
Maybe. Okay, so the Ramban continues on. So the Ramban is saying here but the Ramban seems to be saying that the din of Shatav Pamayim is cluing us into that before a person goes to the mikvah, they're required to wash themselves first in order to make sure that they're totally clean, which is very interesting. That implies that there's actually a din d'oraisa, a biblical obligation, to go ahead and do this, right? So he's basing it on a pasuk in Chumash, right? That there's an obligation to make sure one is clean before they go in. So I'm not sure what the halachic ramifications of this Ramban are. Now the Ramban continues on and says another thing that's very interesting. He says, "Varabu Seidu Amru," quotes from the Torah's Kohanim, "Shehotzi akasuv tvilas gufu shel zat b'lashon shtifas mayim." That the language. So why? Well, what are we benefiting from? Why put it in the language of rinsing in water? Right, the tvila of a zav in the language of rinsing in water. La mercha, to teach you she'ein beis hastarim taun bias miyamayim el iver hagaloi kmo hayadayim. Right, that you don't require the beis hastarim. The inside parts of the body don't require tevila, don't require to be washed. The only thing that requires being washed is the limbs that are visible to everybody, such as your hands. Right. So what would be the ramifications of that? What does it mean? How would you possibly wash the inside of your body? So there is one part of the inside of your body, actually several of which I could hear a case that one would be obligated to wash. What would that be? Can anybody think? Your mouth. Right, can we think of another one, maybe?
Ears.
Not really ears. Ears are going to be left open wherever water goes, it's going to go. Right, but when one goes to the mikvah, they don't leave their mouth open or their eyes. Right? They'll leave their eyes open. We do tell people not to crunch your eyes too tight, but that's not because we want to make sure your eyes get a little wet. It's because we want to make sure that you don't fold over the skin, right? In order to, that itself would be a chatzitza. But we don't require that. So the Ramban is saying that's based on this pasuk as well. That you're rinsing, right? That going to the mikvah should be like rinsing the body, not going crazy and washing the inside. Now there are significant shilas about the inside of the mouth because the issues of what if there is a chatzitza in the mouth. So Rav Moshe has a major tshuva about temporary fillings, which I don't think exists bisman as that. Right. We don't really do that today. Well, people will do a temporary
root canal.
So you do a temporary filling before a root canal?
Yeah, you're doing different. A molar on three roots. So do one root.
Okay, so that's what he's talking about. So if a woman has a temporary filling, is that a problem? The Gemara itself actually talks about a woman who had a bone stuck in her teeth. Right? It seems to imply that that is a problem.
Right.
Even though the water doesn't go there, it's still a problem. So I don't know. We'll talk about this later point. So the Ramban then goes on and has a few more interesting haros here as well. He also comments that... right. He points out that why is it that a woman of the four categories of tuma that we discussed over the course of this parak, two of them have to bring korbanos and two of them don't. So which are the two that don't? So the male keri and the female nida, right? Don't require it, while the zava do. So why is that? So he says that those are the people that we assume had some type of sin involved. So therefore they need 7 days off and the korban chatas in order to indicate that there's something wrong and they should perhaps analyze their action. And then he adds in one more thing important halacha, which I seem to recall when I learned Hilchos Nida, the Rebbe pointing out this as a question, but not necessarily knowing the answer. He says, that a zava, we permit her to go to a mikvah rather than require a mayan. A male zav, when he goes to the mikvah, we pointed this out the other day, he's required to go to a creek, a regular mikvah. Some kind of a spring, as opposed to just a mikvah. A mikvah wouldn't be good enough, right? So we normally link a zav to a zava. Many of the halachos transfer over from one to the other in terms of impurities, in terms of the way that they become purified. So if that's the case, ready for this chumrah? So a zav should transfer over, right, that chumrah to a zava as well. So a woman who is a zava, right, she should also require a spring rather than going to a simple mikvah. So okay, well, that would be an interesting chumrah, but we don't have zavas v'zman hazeh. Hold on, we do. Our entire premise of the laws of Nida is that we don't keep track of whether a woman is a Nida or a Zava, and we treat every woman with the stringencies of both. Maybe we'll discuss this halacha day. So if that's the case, so every time a woman goes to the mikvah, she should be treated as a Zava. And if a Zava is compared to a male, right, so then just as a Zav requires a spring, so too a female should require a spring, not just when she is a Zava, but also when she is a Nida. In which case, every time a woman goes to the mikvah, it shouldn't be good enough, she should have to go to a spring. So this Ramban is explaining why that isn't the case. It's only men that have to go and not
women. Moving water, or could she go in a lake? I'm just curious.
Well, it would have to be a lake that comes from spring water.
Okay.
So generally those, right? Anybody know the most famous mikvah spring in the world?
Ari,
right. Ari's mikvah is a spring. Ever been to the Ari's mikvah?
Not
really. What? Tzfat, yeah.
Can you
yes. Did I go in? Did you ask, did I go in?
No, can you go in?
Oh, sure?
It's open.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
oh, yes. And it's not heated.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Is it clean?
Not inside. I mean, I haven't immersed.
is it
clean?
I mean,
what do you mean by clean?
Our standards. I mean, some mikvahs which are clean.
I mean, you gotta just push some of the push it out of the way. It'll be fine.
By the yeshiva?
Not here. Being the one
in
the
beitar.
Especially the king.
Well, you thought that was cleaner? That would be cleaner? You went to the Kalumik?
No.
When I was in Phoenix, we actually built a Kalumik, which is on the side of a building. We just put up the cement borders next to the side of the building. So we forgot to factor in a filtration system.
They could have done it. It was oily and slimy yesterday. I don't know what's going on.
It's busy season. But it's pre-Pesach. We're about to enter busy season over there. Okay, so one other halacha here.
This is halacha day, right?
No, this is Mefarshim day.
I know.
This is Mefarshim day. We got, you got to take what the Chumash gives you, right? All right, let's go to the very end. So the very end in Pasuk Lamed Beis and Pasuk Lamed Gimel, 32 and 33. So he mentions there's those. So it gives like a conclusion. Zos Toras Hazav Asher Teitzim Menu Shich Batzer L'Tamaba. This is the law of a Zav. I remember what I wanted. We'll save it for a long time. Zos Toras Hazav Asher Teitzim Menu Shich Batzer. This is the Torah Zav, which comes from it, the Shich Batzer, which comes from it, the seed, the Tamaba, in order to become Tame. Vadavav B'Nidas. So a woman sitting in her Nidus. Vazav as the woman a Zav in his flow. The Zav can give her the male or female. Ishish Yishkav Yimatme. And for a male who lays with a tamei, with one who is tamei. So the Sforno comment makes a few comments on this. Is those Toras Hazav, plus?
Yeah, classic.
He's okay. You're okay. His Sforno makes your list.
Yeah.
Okay. So zehuma shiraui laayin b'chol ela rishon. Right. This is fitting to look into all the things from earlier. Shabios hazav ton korban chatas. Hazav requires a chatas. Yoru that teaches shaba al chait b'maisu machshava. That it comes because of a sin in your maisu machshava. Right. Hazav is irregular, and you got to then take a look at your actions. V'asher teitzim en shichvat zera l'tamaba. That comes from a shichvat zera. In order to become tamei. Yamam tam tumasakari, the reason for tumasakari who shakavanas hamotsio hila tamaba. So this is a very interesting comment that the Sforno makes. The Sforno says, why is it that one who is shichvat zera also becomes tamei, and actually is matami her? He says, because even though it's natural action, the kavana of the person exuding it, if that's a word, hila tamaba, is to be metame, meaning it's not a person's kavanos is not this is the way we're going to have children, etc. Right? They have the kavana for what they're doing. Be'itav shel nachash lo lekayim hamin. Right? Because that comes from the poison of the snake. That person's motivation is not pure at that moment, but rather it's something else. Shulei zel lo aysa bezera shum tuma. If it wasn't for the poison of the snake, so there wouldn't be any tuma in it. I'm not sure what that is. Befarish uvishna. I'm not sure what that's referring to. But says the Sforno, why is there tuma associated with tumas kari? It's just a natural action. I mean, I understand by nida, right? Nida is a loss of life. But what about by kari? By the male, that's the way to make life. So says the Sforno, come on, get real, right? that's nice that you want to have that in mind. But come on, we know that that's not really the case at that moment. And where does that come from? So that comes from the poison of the snake that the. And it all comes from that moment.
He's talking about the emission during relations?
Yeah.
I thought it was referring to masturbation.
No!
That's a completely different thing.
Well, yes, that would cause tumas keri as well. But the Torah is talking about, what the Torah is talking about is either one.
Even legitimate relation.
That's the big elephant.
It's not such an open sin.
That's an elephant in the room.
They say
masturbation
is a sin?
No, it's not being discussed at all. What we're talking about right here, this halacha here, is not, nothing in Tazir Mitzvah is positive or negative. Right, we're talking about a regular marital act of cohabitation, that's going to lead the male to be carried. Says the Sforno, why, right, that you're supposed to be doing it? But yeah, because in your mind, it's a physicality rather than a spiritual moment. I think that's
you're saying that masturbation is not a sin.
So no, I didn't say that. I said that it's not.
You get a captive for it.
I said it's not clear in the Torah where it's coming from. Find me a pasuk. You're looking at me like I'm crazy. You look in the pasuk. Go. You have an art school chumash. So look in the index in the back and see where it's listed.
This is the scene and
what.
Instead of doing his marital
ah, yes, we have a story includes the act, and he's punished for it. Correct. But as we learn through the Gemara, you learn Maseches Makos, right? So what does it ask all the time there? He says, I understand where there's a punishment, Azhara Minayim. Where do you see the sin from? So it's not explicitly mentioned anywhere as an explicit sin. So how does one understand that? Well, I would say the problem is that'll never fit in Halacha Day because it doesn't exist, right?
Yeah.
I have to figure out a way to pull that in. All right, I'll stop here. Have a good Shabbos.
Amen. I have a discharge from his flesh.
Yes.